Well, folks, the Fed just did it. They raised interest rates 0.75%. That's 75 basis points. This was in line with what was expected, and it's still considered kind of a panic move on the part of the Fed. This has huge implications, which is why you got to hear this. So massive job losses are going to accelerate from here forward. There are going to be layoffs. People are going to be fired. Businesses are going to shut down. Some businesses will go bankrupt. We're already seeing trucking and transportation companies going bankrupt. A lot of housing and construction industry people are going to lose their jobs because housing is collapsing. Why? Well, because, well, mortgages are now over 6%, and that was actually before this Fed rate increase. So based on this, we're probably going to see the average mortgage rate in America very quickly within the next 2 weeks exceeding 7%. Now, maybe going from, 3% to 6% or to 7%, maybe that doesn't sound like much, but in terms of the monthly payments, it's a lot. And, I don't have an amortization calculator in my head or anything, but you raise rates just 1 or 2 percentage points, depending on the size of the purchase, someone's monthly required mortgage payment can increase $1,000. And that's $1,000 they don't have, especially in the context of the fact that we have record food prices. We have record inflation. We have, or at least the highest inflation in 40 years, I should say. We have the highest gas prices and diesel prices ever in the history of our country. And of course, the highest food prices ever. And we're coming off of a housing bubble. And you may recall that I called this bubble. I said the peak of the bubble is right about now. I said that around April 18th or 19th. I said, this is the top. And it wasn't quite the top. I think the top was more like May, but now it's all going down. The housing bubble is going to burst because of what the Fed did today. The 0.75% increase in interest rates. This is going to crush the housing bubble. Now, the stock market is coming down too, because let's face it, this stock market was nothing but a Ponzi scheme bubble propped up by Fed money printing. The Fed just thrusting liquidity into the system, quantitative easing. And now that's being reversed. So now we have a policy of quantitative tightening. And tightening means destroying all of this extra money, destroying liquidity. And destroying liquidity is going to crush these bubbles. It's going to burst them. So the stock market bubble is bursting. The crypto bubble is bursting, which I'll talk about more here in a second. The housing bubble is bursting. And frankly, you're going to start seeing, I know this might be hard to believe, you're going to start to see wages fall. Wages will fall. And I know that's alarming. Maybe your wage won't fall. Or maybe for some people, they'll just stay where they are and you won't get raises. But across the board, watch the statistics. Later on this year, you're going to see that average wages in America will start to fall. Why is this happening? Because, of course, there's going to be more people looking for jobs and fewer jobs to be had because of, well, everything that we've talked about here. So as wages are falling and people's assets are falling, stock market assets, bonds, real estate, these kinds of things, you're going to be facing at the same time much higher prices in food and fuel and commodities and things that you need to buy. Baby food, let's say, if that's what you're buying. The things you need will go up. The things you own will go down. And that is what we're looking at here. And that's typically called stagflation. And the Fed is having to make a choice here. The choice, as it's commonly stated, is they can either choose to hyperinflate the currency with more money printing and propping up the markets and thereby destroy the currency. That's choice number one. Or choice number two, they can raise interest rates, crash the stock market, crash the debt market, crash the assets, put us into perhaps a 10-year depression, but thereby maybe save the currency. And those are two choices, either destroy the currency or destroy the economy, basically. I have a third option, which is actually the worst of both worlds. What if the Fed achieves both the destruction of the currency and a depression at the same time? Because honestly, that's what I think we're about to experience. This is the whole house of cards coming down. This time, it is different. I mean, this time, this is not just some correction where you're like, oh, buy the dip, you know. It's all going to recover. You know, that's been the story on Bitcoin for how long? Since 2009? Like every time it goes down, just buy it and it'll go up again. Well, there's a whole lot of young investors and speculators and a lot of young crypto people too who weren't adults during the dot-com crash. They weren't even alive during the 1987 Black Monday crash. They don't remember anything about the subprime mortgage collapse in 2008. So I was in high school in 1987, and I was publishing articles and predicting the dot-com crash in 2000. Well, I started warning people in 1998, and I warned about the subprime mortgage collapse situation starting in 2006. You can see it on my website. I was telling people, watch out for the real estate crash that's coming. A lot of young people have never learned the lesson of what happens when a giant Ponzi scheme collapses. And they're about to learn that lesson. It's a very, very painful lesson. Basically, they're going to get their asses handed to them. They're going to go from thinking that they're crypto millionaires to literally working at McDonald's. A lot of people are going to be in that boat. And McDonald's may not even be hiring. They might end up being a Walmart greeter. You know, they think they've got the world by the balls. Actually, the world has their balls and is going to cut them off and stuff them down their throat. That's what the world does to you anytime you get too arrogant and think like you got it all figured out and you've beat the system. No. System's going to beat you. Going to beat you down, man. Believe me, this is some hard lessons coming. Sorry to be so graphic about it. It's kind of like a Mexican gang killing or something. You know, that's what they would do, to like cut off your balls and stuff them down your throat. Well, that's what the markets are going to do to people. It's going to be ugly. Actually, it's going to be even uglier in crypto, because crypto has no FDIC insurance. Crypto has no government backing. You can't go to the court system and sue and get your crypto back. You know why? Because all the crypto companies are incorporated in the Cayman Islands or the Solomon Island Group or the freaking Estonia somewhere. I mean, you're not going to be able to sue. You're not going to get any money back. When it's gone, man. Just ask the people who put their money in Celsius. It's gone. The people who put their money in Tether are going to be asking that real soon now, just like the Chinese citizens that put their money into Evergrande. It's gone. And you'll be lucky to get pennies back on the dollar, or the yuan in that case. It's just gone, folks. There's no one's coming to save you. If you want to save yourself, you got to get out of these things before they crash. And for Celsius users, too late. Too late. For Luna coin holders, too late. Already crashed and burned. So think about, where do you have your assets right now? I'm serious. Because almost all assets have counterparty risk, which means that the only way you ever get your money out is if some other party keeps their promises, right? So that's the situation with crypto. These crypto exchanges like Celsius has to keep their promise and let you take your money out whenever you want to withdraw it, right? And they announce, well, we're not going to let you take your money out. That's called counterparty risk. The other side of the exchange just defaulted. You don't get anything. Banks have counterparty risks. You hold dollars in a bank account, you are trusting the bank to make good on their obligation to give you your money back. But they don't always do that. There are bank bail-ins. There are bank failures. There are currency failures. So even currency has counterparty risk. Stocks have counterparty risk. Bonds have counterparty risk. What if the bond holder, the bond issuer, doesn't make good on their interest payments or principal payments on the bond? The debt market has counterparty risk, lots of it. So in many cases, you're just completely screwed. So, what are you going to do? Ask yourself, what assets do not have counterparty risk? And you probably already know the answer if you've been listening to me at all. You know that gold and silver have no counterparty risk. Ammunition has no counterparty risk. If you have a bunch of ammo, you don't need anybody else to make good on any promises or to keep any contractual obligations for your ammo to still be yours and to still have value. Ammo has natural value. You know, diesel fuel, tractors, vehicles, hard assets, a roof over your head, a piece of land with a spring on it or a stream on it or a pond on it or what have you, you know, water. Soil that you can grow food in, that's got real value. That has no counterparty risk. And gold and silver, no counterparty risk. Gold is gold is gold. There's no such thing as digital gold, folks. So if you bought into the big propaganda lie of the Bitcoin pushers who said that Bitcoin is digital gold. I'm sorry, you got suckered. Bitcoin is not digital gold. There's no such thing as digital gold. Gold is not digital. Gold is specifically not digital. That's why it is immutable. It can't vanish. It's an element. I mean, maybe if you have a fusion reactor or something, but if you have that, then, you know, I guess you could make your own wealth just by creating excess energy or something. If you have a fusion reactor, you have all kinds of different issues, like probably the government wanting to knock on your door and ask you, what are you doing with a fusion reactor? You know, things like that. But if you're holding gold and silver, there's no counterparty risk. They have intrinsic value, which no cryptocurrency has unless it's backed by gold. And there is one I know of that's backed by gold and silver. It's called LODE, L-O-D-E. And we're talking to the LODE folks, by the way, about the progress on their technology and their blockchain and how that whole thing works. And LODE will never be a get-rich-quick scheme. It will never make a bunch of money. LODE will simply, once it works and is all smoothed out, it will be, let's say, a transaction system that is reliable and that doesn't have massive gains and losses in valuation, which is exactly what you want. I mean, you want stability in a transactional system. You don't want get-rich-quick type of garbage. You want stability. So that's what I'm looking for in a reliable crypto ecosystem. So we'll see. But anyway, the Fed is raising rates. Things are getting real and real dicey also. So just be mindful of all this, folks, because if you have exposure, you're going to get financially ripped here. And a lot of people are going to lose virtually all of their assets because they did not listen to people like me or you know, Peter Schiff or Gerald Celente or Andy Shechtman and others who sounded the alarm, or Gregory Mannarino, whatever. We've all been sounding the alarm. Watch out. The collapse is coming, and some people didn't listen, and they're going to get wiped out. And some people are already wiped out, but there's a whole lot more coming. So be prepared. Get gold and silver, or check with your financial advisor. That's my disclaimer, because I'm not your financial advisor. You got to do what's right for you. But see what you can do to eliminate your risk, and don't trust money managers. Money managers, their only incentive is to be like perma bulls. They want you to think the markets are always going to go up so that you think you need them. Money managers are not people who, I mean, they have a conflict of interest at all times. They will never tell you the market's going down, usually. I mean, some of them will, the good ones will, but most of them won't. So if you have a money manager, make sure that they are well-informed and that they are skeptical of the bubble and the Ponzi scheme that's been in operation, frankly, since 1971. And if they don't know why 1971 matters, you should fire them and get a different money manager who knows why 1971 was a big deal and what has happened since then and why the dollar is coming to an end. If they don't realize the dollar is ending, then they're not qualified to manage anybody's money because they're just going to lose all their money. At least that's my opinion. But then again, I'm not a licensed money manager. No. The licensed money managers, most of them are going to lose everything. People like you and I who think outside the box, we're going to be able to protect our assets. And that, in my mind, that's hard assets like I've mentioned before. So get prepared, and thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, The Health Ranger, naturalnews.com and brighteon.com. Take care.